Welcome to Trinity Presbyterian Church Owosso Sermon Podcast. Grace changes everything.
So we'll get to spend all the time in the world that we want in fellowship together. And the session has said, Blake, now you have 2 hours to preach. So this is going to be great. So I'm kidding, of course. But I wonder if you've noticed with me that there is a new daily question that we have to ask ourselves that we didn't used to have to ask. And that question is, what is real? Over spring break, I watched as one generation discipled another, and my mother was watching reels online, and my children were looking over her shoulder as she was just gasping at these videos, and they were like, Didi, those videos are not real. And my children discipled their grandparents on how to recognize AI fabricated videos. Listen, we live in a day, don't we, where you can fabricate whatever you want online. You can make a video say whatever you want it to say. You can clone your own voice. You can make a video of someone saying something, but it's not actually them. We live in a world where we have to ask ourselves, what is real? And beneath that question of what is real is a deeper question. Who defines reality for me? Because every single one of you, I know that many of you profess faith in Jesus, but do you know you have a functional way of operating that actually is very far from the heart of the gospel and the way that you relate to the world day by day by day? For some of you, you find that even truth-telling in your work comes at great expense. Like, literally, it can cost you promotions. I was reading this week an interview with the national journalist Jake Tapper in Common Good magazine, and the article was called The Economics of Truth-Telling, and they were talking to Jake Tapper, who has grown up Jewish, he doesn't profess Jesus, about the nature of telling truth in the public square. And Tapper says that we have come to the day where telling the truth actually costs you something. Sometimes when I know what the truth is, I have to ask myself, as a national syndicated journalist, what does this cost me? And I have to face the cost. Now, whatever you think about Jake Tapper is not the point. The point is that you have a journalist who is committed to giving the objective truth, and even in that world, they have to ask, is it true? And friends, the person who's asking the question of what is real, and who defines reality for me, sets our hearts up to recognize the one and only, the famous Pontius Pilate. And children, when I say the word Pontius Pilate, Pontius is not the name of an airline. Pilate is not P-I-L-O-T. It is P-I-L-A-T-E. It is his name, Pontius Pilate. He was a Roman governor. He was a ruler. He was one who had been called by Tiberius to rule over Judea in his place. And so when you hear the word Pontius Pilate in the Apostles' Creed, when you say it together, this is not about flying an airplane. This is about a man who is given authority as a governor. Think governor, not airline pilot, when you hear the word Pontius Pilate. But if you would you stand with me this morning as we read from John chapter 18, verses 33 through 40. And I want you to answer this question this morning. Who defines reality for me? Your feed, the crowd, your family, your wife, your husband, your boss? Who defines reality for you? Or is it the living God? And if it's the living God, oh friends, do you listen to his voice? John chapter 18, verses 33 through 40. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, Are you the King of the Jews? And Jesus answered, Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done? Jesus answered, My king is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world. Then Pilate said to him, So you are a king. And Jesus answered, You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. And Pilate said to him, What is truth? After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, Not this man, but Barabbas! And almost in shock, John writes, Now Barabbas was a robber. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but our Lord, his word stands forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated, please. Father, would you allow the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts to be pleasing and acceptable to you? You use your word preached to change us. Would you do it again? Oh, Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Who defines reality for you? This passage, friends, is one of the most classic passages because it asks really big questions. Pilate asked Jesus, Are you the King of the Jews? He asked the same question that hadn't been asked since Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, where it was the wise men from the east coming outside of the religious in group, and they asked Jesus, Where is the King of the Jews? They ask as they come to see Jesus. And so here the question emerges back to us in John, as John helps us see through images of dark and light, truth and falsehood, and he shows Jesus to be a king, but he's a king in ways you wouldn't expect. And so it says in the Greek, it's actually quite interesting, it says that Pilate entered his praetorion again, pollen again. Pollen is the word for again in Greek. He enters it again because Pilate is going back and forth between the crowd and Jesus. Jesus had been brought to Caiaphas. He had sat in judgment before the high priest. And now they know, since he rose Lazarus from the dead in John 11, they knew they wanted to kill him. They didn't know how they were going to do it. And so they trumped up charges of sedition. Let's say he's the king, and let's challenge Rome. And so they brought him after the high priest to Pilate, who had Rome in his head, and he had a crowd outside of his gate. And he's listening to both. And so seven times you'll read in this passage, if you read John 18 and 19, you see that Pilate goes between Jesus and the crowd, Jesus and the crowd, Jesus and the crowd, Jesus and the crowd. And I was preparing for my sermon, and I just thought, we can stop right there, because that's my heart. What defines reality for you? John is very intentional showing this again. He says, pollen, 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 again, again, again. Pilate is going back and forth, trying to appease Rome on the one hand because that's his job, the crowd on the other because he wants to manage. He wants to provide order, and he wants it to be tidy. And oh, as your pastor, I know that you want your life to be tidy. And I do too. I wonder what defines reality for you, because the crowd can be loud, but it cannot be Lord. So Pilate enters his headquarters, verse 33 again, and he called to Jesus and he said to him, Are you the King of the Jews? And Jesus, wanting to know Pilate's real motive, says, Pilate, are you asking this, literally it says in Greek, are you asking this of yourself, or has someone put you up to it? Or did others say it to you about me? Jesus wants to answer his question, but he needs to know Pilate's heart. Because if Pilate is genuinely curious, are you the king of the Jews? Well, then Jesus is going to say, well, relative to Rome, no, not in that way at all. But relative to, am I the fulfillment of all the Old Testament has promised? Am I the king of the Jews? Am I the greater Abraham, Moses, David, Daniel, the Son of Man to come? Am I that king? Oh, yes, I am. And so here's Jesus trying to discern Pilate's motives, and he asks him a question. And so Pilate, he answers. Pilate says, am I a Jew? Your own nation and your chief priests have delivered you over to me. And Jesus knows all he needs to know. Pilate is not trying to ask the question because he's genuinely curious like Nicodemus was. Pilate's asking the question because he's trying to manage the crowd. And so Pilate asks Jesus, what have you done? Give me a confession. And Jesus answers, my kingdom is not of this world. The ESV says of this world, but in the Koine Greek, it actually uses the word ek to say, I am not from this world. It would be better translated, I would argue, to say, my kingdom is not from this world. Oh, am I a king? Oh, yes, I'm a king. But not with toy crowns on little boys and little girls. I am a king that is going to wear a crown of thorns for you. My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, Jesus sets up a contrast. He says conditionally, if my kingdom was of this world, it's a second class condition in Greek. It means we're going to assume this is not true. If my kingdom were of this world, O Pilate, then my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. It is not from this world. And then Pilate says to him, so, you are a king. It's interesting, Pilate, knowing that the one threat to Rome is sedition, it is treason, high treason to say that you're a king. And here Pilate is, in his official capacity, saying, admitting the truth. He's saying the truth. Jesus, you're the king. And three times in John 18 and 19, Pilate says to the crowd, I find no guilt in him. And so Pilate doesn't need any more information. He's not lacking information. And quite frankly, you're not either. What's Pilate lacking? He's lacking courage. He's lacking courage to stand by the truth when he knows it's going to cost him something. Truth is very easy to stand by when it's convenient, but what do you do when it's not? Oh, friends, we are a people who stand by the truth when it is inconvenient. That is what it means to be a Christian. And one of these days in glory, we are going to stand in the midst of great men, Justin Martyr, Polycarp, and others who have given their lives in joy for the sake of the truth. And we're going to say, okay, he's got about 10 more minutes and I'm out of here. We are so easily dissuaded from what is real. AI videos will take us so easily captive, and yet Jesus says, I'm going to communicate my truth to a people by my Spirit through the written word. And I'm going to communicate what is actually true about the way that you're saved and the worldview through which you see life through my preached word and the sacraments as you watch two precious girls be baptized and we all run to this table to celebrate Holy Communion together. What defines reality for you? The crowd can be loud, but it must never be your Lord. Pilate says to Jesus, so you are a king. And Jesus answers, you say that I am a king. Look at verse 37b, second half of 37. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world. Why did Jesus take on flesh? Why did he give up all the glories of heaven? For eternity past, he has lived in perfect union, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the original community, the basis of all community, God Himself, three in one, and one in three. And Jesus gives it up. Why does He give it up, O class? To bear witness to the truth. He is truth embodied. And then He goes even further and He says, Do you want to know how you become part of that truth? Everyone who is from the truth in Greek. From Me listens to My voice. I wonder who you listen to. I wonder if we could broadcast your playlist up on the stage. Would you be embarrassed by that? I wonder if we could say the diagnostic question of what have you been outraged about? Who has settled your heart? Who do you go to? Who do you marinate in? What voice do you hear? What talking head on YouTube do you listen to that begins to shape your heart? Because even court cases this very week against Meta and YouTube showed us how addictive social media has become. Did y'all hear about this? Finally, they've been pushed back against because of how addictive social media. This is not a rail against social media, but it is a point to say that we listen so easily to algorithms who are trained to make us addicted, just like tobacco did in the old days. And we are just so influenced by it. And you know how I know that? Because some of us have very different views about what has become actually the most pertinent religion in our day, according to Ryan Burge. And that is U.S. politics. Now I'm meddling. Ryan Burge, who's a sociologist at Washington University in St. Louis, has said, and I'll be glad to show you the studies, that people actually make moral decisions based first on the party to which they belong politically, and then secondly, to the denominational beliefs of their church. And then they use the Bible to underscore, to support those political opinions. Oh, friends, may we always see Jesus as King, and it's a season where politics is a big deal, but may we never worship at the idol of politics. May we always worship the idol of the only one who can truly satisfy us, an idol that is shaped in the form of a cross, and there hung the Son of God for you. And may we listen to His voice first, which means that we have to take out our AirPods. We have to listen. We have to shut things down. That's why, you know, we try at church to the best we can to facilitate a time for you to turn your phone off and to rest and to just be. The beauty of this place helps that. We don't have a lot of screens in this room because you're just inundated by screens all day long. We want you to listen to the beauty of your Savior who loves you. You know what He says over you? He says, oh, I am in your midst and I am mighty to save. I sing over you with love. I rejoice over you, O Christian, with loud singing. You are a son. You are a daughter. You are given everything that I have in Christ. Would you live into it? Could we follow Eden and Isla's example as we profess our faith to say, yes, we will live into all that You called us to be. Who defines reality for You? The crowd can be loud, but it cannot be Lord. And then Pilate, in this famous verse, in verse 38, notice it says, Pilate said to Him. Do you see that? He said to Him. He didn't ask Him. Isn't that interesting? It's though He's saying to Him a statement that comes across in the form of a question. What is truth? And He's a busy man. He's an impatient man. I can relate to Him. Because I don't like to wait. And Pilate asks the most important question that's ever been asked in human history in front of the one who is the most important person of human history. And he leaves the room before he hears the answer. And after he said this, he went back outside to the Jews and he told them. He knew the answer. He says, I find, literally it says, I find no basis for an accusation. In the ESV, it's, I find no guilt in him. He knew the truth. Three times he says, I find no guilt in him. I find no guilt in him throughout this pericope in chapters 18 and 19. And then he knows that he's not going to please the crowd because he's trying to manage things. He's not really curious about Jesus. He's trying to manage the outrage. And so he makes up a tradition that he gives to the Jews. This is not a Jewish tradition. This was a Roman tradition that on occasion the governor might be able to release at a high holy day of the people. The emperor had given those governors permission to release one in order to keep the peace. And so Pilate puts it back on the crowd. You have a tradition, he says. You have a tradition. He doesn't want to take any responsibility that I will release someone at Pascha, at Passover. And so do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews? And they know that in the shadows of that city, there are how many crosses? There are three crosses. They are prepared for three robbers. And one of those crosses was prepared for Barabbas. And shocked, perhaps Pilate asks that question. And they cry out to him, no, release to us Barabbas. Release to us the robber, the seditionist, the insurrectionist. Josephus in the early church uses the language that is used here of robber to be a highwayman or an insurrectionist or a warrior, somebody who's a revolutionary, somebody who actually is against Rome. And they say, no, no, we've got Pilate right where we want him. Give us Barabbas. And do you know what the name Barabbas means? Bar, son, Abba, father. So here they are asking, give us the son of the father, who is a false Messiah. Give us the son of the father so that the true son of the father we can take because he is highly inconvenient to us. And we want you to put him on the cross that was prepared for that son. Put him on the cross prepared for Barabbas. And later they cry, crucify him, crucify him. What if the Lord Jesus Christ, and he does, friends, came to us by his Spirit and he said, I want you to know the truth and I'm going to try to make it as vivid as possible for you. I'm going to live a life you could never live. I'm going to be the perfect fulfillment of what true holiness looks like. I'm going to take upon myself, the King of eternity, a crown of thorns, and I'm going to bleed in my physical, fully human body. And I'm going to die on a cross that was prepared for a true insurrectionist so that you who have insurrection in your heart against me because you listen to all the false voices might see me with outstretched arms saying, I love you. I came to win you back. Would you listen to my voice? And if you won't hear my cries, would you watch on the cross as I suffer and I bleed for you? And would you stand in amazement and attention of those 3 days when after he dies, he rises again from the dead? I can't wait to get to next Sunday because this week is hard to dwell on his death. And he rose for you so that you might be able to plug in to the only one who actually tells you the truth. Because he himself is the embodiment of truth. Who defines reality for you, O Trinity? Would you be so bold as to lay those other voices at the foot of the cross? And would you hear with crystal clear clarity the Lord Jesus Christ gave his life for you to do the impossible in your life, to save you from sin, and yes, even give you the courage to extend forgiveness to that person when they confess to you. Husbands, give you the courage to lead your family, not with anger or with outrage, but with tenderness and love. May your bride always say, he's the best man I know because he leads me with tenderness and repentance. And may, wise may the husbands in this room say of you, she is an amazing helpmate to me. I couldn't exist without her. She shows me my blind spots. We listen to the truth together. We define our homes by the truth together because it is highly inconvenient. And it's going to become more inconvenient for us. The crowd can be loud, but it cannot be Lord. I wonder if that's true for you. Teenagers, I wonder if you think of yourself more in terms of what the friends at school think of you, or do you think of you in terms of what your Savior thinks of you? And He sings over you with His love. He thinks you're more than terrific. He loves you because He loves you, and He gave His life for you. Oh, friends, may we listen to His voice. And may we encourage each other, because it takes more than me and Nathan and Mark and the elders of this church and the deacons of this church to help you do that. We need each other to do it. You are the ministers of this church as you care for each other in your community groups, as you love each other through this Holy Week and beyond, as those of you who are new are looking on, this church has got all kinds of warts, all kinds of troubles. Oh, yes, because sinners are in the church. But we want to listen to the truth well together and lead with humility, repentance, love, and joy. And foremost, courage. Because the crowd can be loud, but it cannot be Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank You as we hear the cries of these precious babies, that You remind us that You love us more than we could ever imagine, that You called us into a new humanity called the church, marked by Your body and blood. You call us Your very body because by Your Spirit we extend Your presence into the world. And so would You strengthen us now to listen to Your voice. Father, for those who are not Christians in this room, may they ask that question, what is truth? And oh, Holy Spirit, would You still their hearts? And would You show them that there is one who is truth, the Lord Jesus Christ, who lived in human history, died in our place, and rose again on the third day. And would You prepare our hearts to celebrate this Maundy Thursday, the ignominy of Your death for us? And would You help us to confess and to say, yes, we were there. We are the Barabbases, set free, so that Jesus, the true Son of God, might die for me. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.